Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for consideration this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter, the 22nd verse, which we now read in Jesus' name. I will also read the 21st verse. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she had given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Christ Jesus, dear friends and fellow redeemed, no pain, no gain. For athletes, the pain and soreness after a workout is a good thing. It means that they've pushed their body to the limits and that perhaps next time they'll be able to run farther or lift more weight. Jesus uses an interesting example of a woman going through childbirth to teach his disciples an important lesson. Now, at first glance, it looks like Jesus is giving them a bit of bad news, good news. But when we look closer, we'll see that from the perspective of eternity, it's not necessarily the case. Now, just prior to our text, Jesus had been preparing his disciples for his impending death. But they didn't seem to understand it when Jesus explained to him that he needed to suffer and die. But is it so much different in our day? The television is loaded with preachers who preach prosperity and wealth. And isn't it sometimes that we even create false illusions for ourselves by thinking that Jesus benefits us most in this life? Somehow, Jesus becomes our good luck charm, and as long as we're close to him, we'll experience good fortune. Maybe you've even tried to barter with God at times. Dear God, if you just let me go out with that one person, or, you know, you just let me make enough money where I can get that new house or new car, then certainly I'll be faithful in my church attendance, I'll study your word more. Yes, very often Jesus' words that we'll suffer and face trials in this life is a major downer. After all, our tribulations and trials are a constant reminder that we live in a fallen world. Even Jesus' example of the woman going through child labor reminds us of the curse placed on humanity on account of sin from the book of Genesis. But what happens when we get our way? What happens when things are going exactly the way we want it? Let me guess, this is when we spend countless hours in prayer and meditation on God's word. We're going to church all the time. We're constantly helping our neighbors. Well, maybe. Probably not exactly. Isn't it often that in our good days that the thoughts of our minds and our hearts wander even further into worldly things? Sure, I'd like to study my Bible, but, you know, it's hard to find time. And, you know, I'd like to spend more time in prayer, but my free time's pretty limited, and tonight there's that one TV show on that I really like to watch. I've been meaning to make it to Bible study more, but, you know, my friends wanted to hang out, and, well, it got kind of late. The reality is that very often we give little regard to God's word when we are without some sort of cross or trial in our life. Sure, we may let it into our ears. We might even let it roll off our tongues. But do we really let it sink into our hearts? The reality is that apart from tribulations and temptations, our faith is often just head knowledge. It becomes mere academic. If we could fast forward our lives to Judgment Day, we'd see that from the perspective of eternity, our trials are often our greatest blessings. For it is in our trials that our faith is exercised and made stronger. Just listen to what Scripture speaks of the trials that Christians face. Here's what it says. Paul says, "We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." Now, hope does not disappoint. Again, he tells the Corinthians, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The Apostle Peter says, "Now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." The psalmist says, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." In our trials and afflictions, God is the ever-present comforter, pleading with us to turn to him. Now, this doesn't mean we have to go out seeking some sort of sorrow for our life, nor does it mean that if your life is going great, somehow you are less of a Christian. Our comfort is found in the fact that Christ knew the trials that his disciples would face beforehand, and so it is with us. If anyone knew the pain and sorrow, it was our Savior, who suffered pain, agony, betrayal, the physical and spiritual pain on account of our sins. And so it is that Jesus can say, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Christ overcame the world by his perfect life and by his innocent suffering and death. Now, I'm also not trying to downplay the very real sadness and pain that many of you have endured. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've been betrayed by a close friend. Maybe you went through a breakup with somebody that you dearly loved. Perhaps you've even been ridiculed for your faith. But no matter what it was, you know that with time, the grief and burden became more bearable. And with time, perhaps you even became a stronger person because of it. Maybe your faith was even strengthened. Trials in our lives remind us that this life is temporary. They remind us that we're not in control. And through our trials, God keeps our eyes focused on our Savior and heavenward. Finally, Jesus tells his disciples, "I will see you again and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." Now, Christ's disciples' fear and terror was turned to great joy when they saw the risen Lord. And so it is that our Savior's resurrection confirms our absolution from sin and brings us joy as well. This is the silver lining that we as Christians share. Our experiences in this life are not meaningless. Where we are headed, there will be no pain, no sorrow, no betrayal, no hurt. When we see Jesus, our hearts too will rejoice. And yet even now we see Jesus through the eyes of faith. We see him every time we study and meditate on his word. We see him through the eyes of faith in the baptismal waters where we were clothed in his righteousness. We see him through faith in the Lord's Supper where we receive his true body and blood. Yes, even now we have a foretaste of heaven right here on earth. Even now our hearts rejoice. With the Apostle Paul, we can say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. May our gracious God use all of our earthly struggles for our eternal benefit and joy. Amen.